Okay, our last week together. I'm so glad that you've stuck it out. I want to pray for us this morning. Dear Father, I thank you for your grace and for your love. I thank you that you desire to have a relationship, dear Father, with each one of us, and that you want us to come and know you and to be our Lord. Dear Father, I pray for these women as they've gone through this study. I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that they are prepared to be obedient, dear Father, as you lead them in their life. And dear Father, I just pray for my voice this morning, that it will not be a distraction to those listening, and that you will just teach us through this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Destination unknown. We learned through our study that many times God will call us to follow without all the specifics given up front. That life is meant to be in relations with the Lord, and through each day He'll give us all we need at the time needed. How overwhelming if Abraham knew everything up front. During our study, we saw a man who had no idea where God would take him. He seemed to want more out of life, and he believed he'd find it through knowing God. By believing God and following Him, Abraham was blessed beyond measure. He came to know God as provider, forgiver, instructor, the promise keeper, and the one who is always faithful. He lived a life of blessing and blessed others because of his trust in God. And if you recall in our first lesson that we studied in Genesis 12, where God spoke to Abraham and said, "If you'll believe and follow me, I will make you into a nation and all peoples will be blessed through you." Just how are we blessed because of Abraham's life? What did God mean when he promised this to Abraham? The New Testament speaks of the sons of Abraham in Galatians, and that's where I want us to look first this morning as we close our study together. Galatians 3, I'll be reading from the NIV. We're looking at starting with verse 6. "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So how do we become children of Abraham and receive these blessings that we're hearing? It doesn't depend on your physical descent to be children of Abraham. It's the meaning more in the spiritual sense. You are a child of Abraham if you believe. It is only those who trust God that enter into the blessing for believers. It says in verse 6, "He believed God." We are blessed if we believe. All nations will be blessed through you. The first blessing is the blessing of justification. The Bible says the scripture foresaw that God would justify by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Justification means very simply that in spite of all your sins and all of my sins, God reckons you as righteous. All that you've done in your past and all that you will do in your future, it is forgiven because of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with how much you do for God, but it has everything to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's a second blessing that we receive because of being children of Abraham, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 3:14, it says, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's you and me, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." When we believe in Jesus and confess Him as Lord, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We were to reflect this week on Abraham's life and how God led him during his lifetime. And there were two things that were seen throughout Abraham's life: grace and trust. One is initiated by God and the other by man. God initiates the relationship and we respond. Let's look at grace. Grace pretty much wraps up all that we've studied, hasn't it? All that we've learned, the basis for it all is God's grace to His people. as we looked at Abraham's life and all the experiences that he went through, we saw God's grace on every page. God gently taught him how to trust as he built a relationship with Abraham, and he proved to Abraham that he was good for his promises and that he'd never leave him. I like Jerry Bridges' definition of grace. He says, grace is God's favor through Christ to people who deserve his wrath. In one of his articles, he gives this story to explain grace in a way that I think that you and I both can relate to and understand. This is what he says. When I was a boy growing up in East Texas, we lived near some railroad tracks. And in those days, homeless men, whom we called hobos, often rode the rail cars from town to town. Occasionally, one of those men would show up at our front door and ask my mother for a meal. And without asking any questions, my mother would go to the kitchen and prepare a plate of food for him. She gave it freely without requiring any work for food on his part. She didn't ask him to mow the grass, trim the hedges, or wash the windows. She gave freely without any consideration or conditions. Was my mother's kindness an act of grace? It was certainly a gracious, benevolent act, but it hardly qualified as an act of grace in the biblical sense. Let me make the story of my mother and the hobo into a realm of fiction to explain the biblical sense of the word grace. One day a hobo shows up at our front door, and again he's asking for food. This time, however, Mother recognizes him as the man who had robbed our home some weeks before. Instead of going to the phone to call the police, she again goes to the kitchen and prepares a plate of food, and she gives it to him with no questions asked and no work required. You can readily see that a new element has been introduced into the story. Now there is not only the lack of merit, but more importantly, there is the presence of demerit. The hobo not only does not deserve the food in the sense of having worked for it, he actually deserves to be apprehended and punished for his crime. Mother's gift of a plate of food in these circumstances moves us toward the real meaning of divine grace. Through God's grace, he greatly desired to have a relationship with his people. But God is a holy, sinless God, and we are all sinners and unholy. You can't put those two together. They just don't mix. So God came down and called Abraham, and through Abraham, he created a nation, and they were to be called God's people. Going beyond what we've learned in this study, we know that God's people to be the Israelites. And throughout all of history and all the Old Testament scripture, we learn of how God desired to dwell with his people. So he set up a system for them to participate in, therefore allowing God to be among his people. It was the system of sacrifice. The priest would take an offering, an animal defined by God, and they would sacrifice the unblemished animal to atone for the sins of the people. And then, with his grace, God sent his son Jesus Christ to save sinners. His blood would be the sacrificial atonement needed for all men. And through Jesus' death on the cross, every one of us, Jew, Gentile, male, female, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, everyone can know God. He is taking care of it all because of his grace. Do you know grace? As you study through this Bible study, have you desired to know God personally? Do you already know Jesus as your Savior, but you are ready to walk where the Lord leads you with full obedience and with no hesitation? I want you to know the Lord. I want you to know his grace. To know you are significant in Christ. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but you can have the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can have this gift by knowing that while you and I both were sinners, he died for us. And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Scripture says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it tells us that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second point that we learn throughout this study is trust, relying fully on the Lord. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." A couple of weeks ago, it was a Sunday morning, and our family was getting ready for church, and I had my blow dryer on, and usually that means that I can't hear anything that's happening. But Joseph was screaming as he came down the catwalk, and I could hear his voice over my dryer. It scared me literally half to death. He was yelling, "Petey needs you, Petey needs you." Petey is the nickname of our second daughter, and I went running towards her room not knowing what I was going to find. She was in a fetal position, crying and gasping, and she was saying, "Get him off, get him off." Him was our new hermit crab that Joseph just had to have. We had only had him for a couple of days, and his claws, those pinchers, they had already snapped twice on the kids. But on this Sunday morning, I think he was pretty much upset that someone woke him up so early and wanted him to come out and play. And I tell you what, he had taken hold of Petey so tight, and he wasn't going to let go. And from the pain, she had balled up into a fetal position with her hand underneath her. Every time she'd try to open her hand, he'd pinch harder. With tears streaming down her face, I told her, "Petey, you're going to have to open your hand." And she was whimpering, "No, Mommy, no." But I said, "Petey, you've got to trust me. For him to let go, you've got to open your hand and relax it. And then he's going to relax, and I promise he'll let go." I truly think it was the hardest thing she's ever done. She had to trust what I was saying was true. I slowly opened her hand to make it completely flat, and her hand was on top of mine, and I held her fingers back so she wouldn't begin to close them again. It took about 10 minutes for that crab to let go, and the entire time I was saying, "It's okay, just relax. You'll be fine, I promise. It's okay, sweetie, I'm so sorry that this has happened." And once that crab released and my husband flicked him off her hand, there was this awful pinch on her skin, and the skin was broken just slightly. It swelled up so quickly, and it was all red. Needless to say, that hermit crab went back to the store the next day. But you know, as we all tried to pull ourselves back together and get on with the task of making it on time to church, it made me think about how I sometimes relate to God when things are painful. I also thought about all that God was wanting to teach me about Him through this study. I thought about the obedience of Abraham, his strong faith, and his relationship with the Lord. I am often the picture I saw of Petey that morning when I went to help her, in her fetal position, all balled up. God has had to open my hand, as painful as it seemed, but my hand had to be open completely for Him to begin to work in my life. I had to open my hand and let go of everything, all of my fears. And God has continually had to say to me, "It'll be okay. I know it's painful right now, but trust me, the pain will go away soon, and you'll be okay, I promise." Because of God's love for you and me, because of His divine grace, we can go where He leads us. It may be painful for the moment, but once we surrender and trust Him in it, the journey will begin to develop our character and show us God's attributes and make us more like Christ each and every day. Where is God wanting to take you? Will you surrender to Him today, allowing yourself to be dependent on the one and only who can bring you to the promised land? That place where you can find rest and contentment and just knowing that you are a child of God, that you have significance, and that God will use you to fulfill the purposes He has for you. Grace extended down to us, what is your response back? Psalm 143:8 says, "Let the morning bring word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for you I lift up my soul." when I was in my teens and early 20s and not following the Lord, I was never satisfied. I did many things that are an embarrassment to speak about, things that would bring dishonor to God. But I can't tell you how many times as I sat in different environments, in the midst of bad experiences, that I knew God had greater things for me. I knew that there had to be more to life. I just didn't know how to get it. I felt so alone in those situations. Why do we do those things to ourselves? Is it because we're looking for significance? Are we tired of being lonely and we're just wanting to fit in? I am here to testify that you will find nothing that you're looking for when you're walking away from God. I thought about this all through the study. Why did Abraham go? From everything I could tell, from the research that I had done, he had everything he needed. Was he looking for more? Was he looking for significance and not finding it in his current environment? What about you? Have you said yes to God? Are you following him in every area of your life? Maybe you've gone only halfway. You'll not find true richness of the Lord and the significance that you are currently searching for without putting all your trust in the Lord and following him always, your destination often unknown. Hebrews 11:13 and on says this, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth." People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We are given all scripture to encourage us and to give us hope. And my prayer as we close this study is that your heart has been changed because of your time with the Lord. My prayer is that you have a longing to be with the Lord each and every day, and that you will come to him for all your needs, and that he will be your Lord over all your life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time together. I pray for each one of these women individually, dear Father. You know their hearts. You know their circumstances. You know their past and their futures. Dear Father, may we know you as the all-knowing God, as the God who gives second chances, as the God who desires us to be obedient so that we can just live in the fullness of your grace. Teach each one of us as we go from here, Father. I pray that each one of us will continue to study your word daily and that we will receive strength from it, dear Father, and that you will change our hearts to look more like you. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.